Yeah, and I'm looking.
Good morning. Good
Good
morning.
morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Good
Good
morning,
morning.
FBI
Good morning.
representatives, etc.
May I ask that the commissioners and Mr. Persaud unmute and also if they can come on camera for me, please?
1 minute, Chair.
When you have your system now, you just unmute. This is, you can mute your mic. Unmute, and this is the camera. Like you see in the mirror. If you don't want to be on camera, you can always. Is that the command of camera?
Again, may I ask that the commissioners on the call, if they can come on camera for us, please? Thank you. Good morning, Mr.
Good
Nigel
morning.
Niles. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
I've noticed that I have not seen anyone from GWI save yourself. Are others joining you, sir, or can we
Yes,
commence?
they're joining. Apparently, there's some technical difficulties at the end of the boardroom.
And so can we stand this down for 5 minutes, please?
I'll be very grateful, madam.
Thank you very much, sir. And if you can kindly indicate to Mr. Persaud via telephone that the others have joined.
I will.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Passad, GWI is online as Tweedale Trim.
Okay, thank you, Nigel. Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
It is now 10:10, 10 minutes after 10. We will now proceed with this public hearing. We will now proceed with the public hearing into GWI's notice for a change of tariff dated April 13th, 2021. Of course, due to the COVID pandemic, we are utilizing the Zoom platform for this public process, and we ask the persons adhere to the usual Zoom protocols. So please silence your phones and other devices with audible notifications when you're speaking. Ensure that your microphone, of course, is on and close enough to pick up your voice. Mute yourself when not speaking so as to avoid any background noise and interruptions, and of course, unmute when speaking. Feel free to utilize the chat feature for any comments you may wish to make, and any questions and queries at the appointed time will be directed through the chair of these proceedings. We ask, of course, you be brief and to the point. Kindly, of course, as is usual and expected, refrain from interrupting speakers, and any clarifications and questions, as I said, will be done through the chair. These proceedings are audio recorded. I just want to introduce you to the PUC's team here. Ms. Dilla Britton is the chairman of the commission, and she's the chair of these proceedings. All commissioners, I believe all may be present. I believe one may be having a difficulty currently, but he's trying to get on. I know I have online here Dr. Leland Lucas, Commissioner Ferlin Class, and Commissioner Dr. Nanda Gopal. I am not sure if our other commissioner is on as yet, but he'll be on shortly. That is Commissioner Mr. Rajendra Bissasar. Just want to note an important stakeholder, Mr. Pat Dayal, is on via phone. He has had a little difficulty in joining us via Zoom, and he has sent some preliminary comments to the chair of these proceedings. A very warm welcome again to all persons here, and I hand you over to the chair, Ms. Dilla Britton.
Thank you very much, Mr. Passad. Good morning to one and all. And as Mr. Passad said, the hearing into the change of tariff for Guyana Water Inc. is now convened and it's now in session. Mr. Niles, would you be so kind as to come on camera? Because as Mr. Passad has indicated, we're not only recording, we're making an extra video of these proceedings. Mr. Niles, before I begin, might I ask whether your CEO is joining? Because it's customary for us to give him an opportunity to say a few words.
Madam Chair, I understand that he will be joining us shortly. He's not online right now, but he intends to join us shortly.
Thank you very much. Mr. Niles, I have one preliminary question. We have noted on the face of your application dated the 13th of April, the application is for a reduction of water tariffs by 5%. Is there going to be, or do you intend in this morning's presentation to make reference to the consequential, consequential reduction in the ancillary charges as per Order 2 of 2018? I must caution you, Mr. Niles, that this is not a variation of Order 2 2018, but I am just asking if it's in your contemplation to deal with the application as presented to us on and dated the 13th of April in addition to your ancillaries.
No, Madam Chair, we intend to just deal with the application that was presented on April 13th. There will be no application now for a reduction in ancillary charges.
Thank you very much. So the order of presentations this morning, Mr. Niles, we will ask you to begin. I believe I see Mr. Daniels and the other gentlemen online, and then hopefully your CEO would join by that time. Then I will invite the commissioners to ask questions. There is a comment from Mr. Dial, as Mr. Passard would have indicated, he is on the telephone, not on Zoom. And then we will ask the members of the media and members of the public to make any comments or queries of the GWI team. At this stage, Mr. Niles, can we ask that you introduce for the purpose of the record the persons from GWI? Thank you very much.
Sure, Madam Chair. This morning we have Mr. Marlon Daniel, who is our Customer Services Director, Mr. Mark David, who is our Finance Director, and Mr. Jaigopal Ram, who is our Executive Director of Business Development. When Mr. Bash joins, I'll politely ask so that he can be introduced. Mr. Ram, I believe, is going to lead GWI's presentation this morning, so I will respectfully ask that I can hand over to him and he can start the presentation.
Thank you very much. Please proceed, sir.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners.
Chair, before we proceed.
Yeah.
Through the chair, before we proceed.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
I see there's a JG on here. Could we... do we know who is JG and who is CM?
Yes, that is from the Public Utilities Commission, sir.
Okay.
I believe, Mr. Niles, before this gentleman takes over, I believe I see the image of Mr. Bash in the room. Am I mistaken or am I correct?
Yes, that is Mr. Bash in the background behind Mr. Daniels and Mr.
Mr. Bash, CEO, good morning and welcome to this hearing. Sir, as is customary, we usually invite, and Mr. Niles, I hate to usurp your authority here, but can I invite your CEO to make a few to say a few words to us before this presentation?
Surely. Well, what we're doing here is to follow the procedures laid down.
Mr. Bash, I'm sorry. May I ask if you could step forward to the microphone, because we can hardly hear you.
Yes. We are close proximity here. We're not in the boardroom. We have had another meeting there, so we're in an office area. Sorry
about
that. So what I'm saying is that we are trying to follow the procedures laid down to ensure that the PUC, we get the endorsement or approval of the PUC for this tariff reduction, which, as you know, has already been approved by the Parliament of Guyana. So on the 4th of March, I think, the last budget day, so it's become a part of the law, the reduction of the tariff. But I recognize that the PUC will want to know what are the implications of such a reduction for the utility, especially the financial implications to the utility. What the reduction in our revenue stream will have on the consumers out there and such other matters. So therefore, we're here to let you know that we want to move ahead with this tariff reduction. We have not done so as yet. We haven't, and we want to, you know, it will take some time through the billing system and so on, so that the customers can get their reduction, all classes of customers. And we have been bombarded. We have been bombarded on a daily basis. When are we going to see this thing in our bills? You know, the expectations of consumers. They won't show the same eagerness if there was an increase in the tariff, right? But this is a reduction. Just like the pension subsidy, which we have successfully implemented, removal of the value-added tax and these things. So here we are in front of you to plead a case for acceptance of this reduction so that the consumers can benefit.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Bash. I know this is an unorthodox way for us to meet each other, but it's lovely to meet you. Do you want to add anything for the purposes of the the purposes of this public hearing about any programs or any initiatives you intend to embark upon this year?
Yes. Well, this year we have some many programs. You know, we have our new strategic plan, effective from 1st of January. The strategic plan is from this year to 2025. And it sets down the key programmatic areas which we'll focus on. Apart from the access, increasing access to water for 100% over the next 5 years, many of these areas are in the hinterland communities. So we will move in that direction. Secondly, treated water.
Mr. Bash, we lost his sound.
Yes, you hear me?
Yes,
yeah, we're hearing you now.
Okay. The first one was the access to water. The second programmatic area, which we're focusing on, is treated water. Because there's a great expectation, I would want to say a cry out there by the population. Some areas where the iron content in the water is very high. So the government of Guyana has already committed, because we have made representations, we've put up detailed proposals for a 90% coverage of treated water on the coastal belt. And this has been accepted by the government. And investments are currently being sourced for this. And we want to commence it, provided we get the funding from the last quarter of this year. So that's a priority area. In addition to that, the Caribbean Development Bank is coming in with a loan of between $20 to $30 million. The agreements have been signed up. The consultants are coming in to build 5 treatment plants in various areas of Guyana. Escuba Coast 1, Quarantine Coast 1, West Coast Barbies 1, the islands of Wakanam and Legwan. And importantly, to do a study of the Hope Canal on the East Coast as a source of water and to build a treatment plant there so that the entire middle of the East Coast, coming all the way from Mahaika, the Hoop, way down to Strats Bay, to be covered by a huge treatment plant. So a consultancy is coming on board very, very shortly to do that study. And the government is in support of all of these things. So water treatment is vital for the population. Thirdly, wastewater treatment is also on the agenda. As you know, all sewage goes into the Atlantic untreated. So the government is committed next year to source funding for the construction of a water treatment, a wastewater treatment plant in Georgetown. We are already looking at locations, sites, where this plant can be constructed. So that is another area. The fourth area of concern is the entire Georgetown network, transmission and distribution network. It's in a poor state because it's over 100 years from these pipes are there. And they burst in every other week, we have to be repairing. And the losses, the NRW losses are tremendous. So the government again has committed to funding renewal of the reticulation in Georgetown. So those are key areas of support where investment funds through a capital program will be implemented. And I must mention, which is of direct interest to the PUC, is that we are embarking. I know you've set targets over the last couple of years for metering, but not much has been done. We already have coming in by May about 26,000 meters and another 14,000 meters. So it's about 40 to 42,000 meters will be in the country by mid-year. And we are embarking on a massive metering program. This is where we will be able to bring in revenues, because the data has shown that metered customers are paying their bills. They're more willing to pay than the unmetered. And that's a big problem for us. Collection of the revenues, we are embarking on several strategies right now. You know, we have stopped disconnection programs. And this has had, I would say, not a very good effect on our revenues. The revenues are plummeting a bit because of the because of COVID also, the unwillingness to pay the revenues. And we're now appealing to them. We'll have a whole set of strategies which you'll see coming out over the next week or two, encouraging people through our PR program. We're there already in communities and all kinds of things to bring in the revenues. And we're hoping for success as we move along. But we have to improve the quality of water, to convince the population, also the level of service. Over the last 5 years, I must tell you that inventory has been run down so much in GWI. We didn't have basic, we had 5,000 applications for new service connections. We could not. Now we've reduced that to 500. We have had to do procurement and procurement with a lot of investment funds. And that is under control now. That can bring in revenues for us also. Okay, in terms of the leakage management and the level of service, that's another area we're focusing all over this country. But it will take some more time to bring it under control. So it has affected the level of service, the PSI, in various communities across Guyana. For example, Sophia, certain areas still are not getting the kind of level of service that they deserve. And we're working on that. We've put special engineers in these areas. So all in all, we're trying to improve the quality of service and the level of service. It costs a huge sums of money. And the government has really been supporting GWI, I must say. Notwithstanding that it will affect our revenues, the 5% somewhat, about $16 million, $17 million per month. They have actually countered that by giving us investment funds. For Hinterland Water, they're supporting all of the hinterland to the tune of about $400 million for infrastructural work, wells, storage, photovoltaic systems, and so on and so on. So whilst they have moved to reduce the tariff for customers, which is a benefit to the customers, at the same time, they have been able to give GWI huge funds. And they're also meeting a part of the bill for the current expenditures. You know, all these are things which we get in help, but we as a utility have to improve our management and, you know, tighten things and move forward. So in a nutshell, that is what has been happening here at GWI. You would know about the GPL bills, the huge debt to GPL. Again, the government has come in. They have come in and they have paid off the debt up to August 2020, going backwards. And they've cleared that off and paid off GPL on behalf of GWI. I mean, it's embarrassing to me as an individual to have to get the government to come and do that thing, whereas the utility must be viable, must collect its revenues, and, you know, to even break even by meeting all its costs, including employment costs and the energy cost. The government has come in there again, and they paid off GPL. So those are some of the things I think I ought to tell you in the light of this 5% tariff reduction.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bhatt. I trust that you will be staying for the duration or sometime in case there are questions which will be directed to you. Mr. Bhatt, did you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I asked whether you will be staying for the duration.
I'd say I have a little commitment.
I understand, sir. I understand. Thank you very much. Mr. Niles, you had indicated that someone else will take over from Mr. Bash, who will be making the presentation.
Through the chair.
Mr. Jagalpa. Oh, sorry, Dr. Lucas.
Through the chair. And good morning again, everyone. Given the chair's, the CEO's additional commitment, may it be appropriate for questions to be directed to him at this point in time, thereby freeing him up to take care of his other commitment, or do we wish to ask him to remain around, to stay around? I don't know which one would be preferable to Mr. Bash, as well as my fellow commissioners.
It is not only with respect, thank you, Dr. Lucas, it's not only with respect to Mr. Bash, it is with respect to the public hearing and the procedure as it relates to the public hearing. We had just invited Mr. Bash to give a comment and to tell us about his programs. We are now entering into the meat of the hearing. This is why I'd asked whether Mr. Bash will be here subsequent to the presentation. But since we have him as a captive audience, and these are some programs, I don't know whether the commissioners or the members of the public will now like to ask Mr. Bash some questions. If there are no questions,
I would certainly like to ask a couple of questions.
Dr. Lucas, can we ask that the presentation proceed before you ask those questions, please?
That's fine, Chair. That's fine.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bash, I'm certain if you have to step out, we will understand. And if you can come back in, all the better. But can we please proceed with the procedural part of the application?
Madam Chair, can you ask your technical people to allow us to share our screen?
Very well, sir. Are you ready, Mr. Daniels?
Yes, we are still unable to share our screen here.
You get the prompt?
Yes, we are now trying to get the document up.
Thank you.
Is our screen visible, Madam Chair?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Ram, please proceed.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Commissioners, and other members who are listening to GWIC's presentation today.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, our the title of this presentation is Request. Guyana Water Inc. request for approval from the Public Utilities Commission for 2021 water charges reduction. And of course, we have an agenda, basically the content, which is an overview, followed by the National Budget 2021 decision, the revenue impact of GWI in 2021, tariff reduction by categories, approval of the 5% tariff reduction and implementation. From the overview side of it, we basically backtrack when order 2 of 2018 was applied for. So initially GWI basically asked for an adjustment to the existing tariff bands. Those were the old tariffs implemented sometime in 2006. Introduction of new tariff bands, introduction of a fixed charge, reduced tariff for pensioners over the age of 65 years, increase in ancillary charges, and the introduction of new ancillary charges. Of course, the approval are granted as per Order 2 of 2018. In two phases of implementation, October 2018, followed by the second phase in October 2019. Of course, GWI has really benefited from the increased tariff over the years of the implementation. We have also included the existing tariff that we have in force here in Appendix 1. We'll share that later. Well, let me come now to the National Budget 2021. The 2021 National Budget of the water sector was being deliberated in the National Assembly, and approval were being granted on March 4, 2021 at the Committees of Supplies as a parliament to reduce water charges by 5% of the current tariff structure. Later on, we have a schedule basically showing what the existing rates are, the rates that are enforced, approved rates, and the 5% reduction as per the various categories. And also it shows the impact by the type of customers, etc. So as we go down later on in the presentation, you would see it. We also dealt with the revenue impact GWI 2021. So again, following the National Assembly's approval, the approval to reduce the tariff by 5%, GWI has acted swiftly by computing the revenue losses, which is projected as $202 million over the next 12 months. We have the details for that, basically. And we also show the impact on the categories of customer. That's 172,381 customer that will be benefiting from this tariff reduction. And of course, the CEO, Mr. Bashid, mentioned about the metering program, et cetera. One of the ways, basically, is that we try to counter the impact of this loss of revenue is by capitalizing on our metering program, which is already in train in terms of the ordering of the metering, et cetera. We would like to note also at the same time here that no adjustment has been made to fixed charge tariff here in our calculation when we look at a 5% reduction. So in table one below there, we will now show you the categories. This basically is a summary. We'll get to the details just now. So we're showing basically four categories there. We have a non-resident metered customer. We have a non-residential unmetered customer. We have a residential metered customer and residential unmetered customer. So overall, we are looking at 172,381 customers. And of course, the tariffs that are going to be affected, it is under the current water service charges. So we're looking at for each categories there with the current charges, we're looking at 4,808,778,399. We have then calculated what would be if the tariff were to be reduced by the 5%, and that gives us a total of 4,606,406,267. And then there in the second to last column there, you would see the effect of the reduction, 202,372,000. $123 basically over a 12-month period. And that would impact basically on $16,864,344. So this is really the financial impact and a synopsis. Right? So we could move now to the more detailed breakdown in terms of the tariff structure. By categories now. And we show basically the various categories from meter, non-residential, Georgetown, and then go down to the various categories, small to medium, commercial, etc. We also show here the number of customers that will be on our database that will be impacted positively by the reduction. So the second column there is customer. I could read across, for example, Georgetown, metered non-residential, we have 1,613 customers. Our current tariff structure is $150. That's just basically per meter cube. And after we would apply the 5%, that would now come to $143 per meter cube. And on the last column there, on the right there, you could see the impact is that the customer would be benefiting there by $7 per meter cube. Right, and we can go down in the various categories in the same note, and you could see, you know, what the impacts are on the tariff. You take into consideration also the pensioners also, as we mentioned there, so you could see also that the benefits that are given to the pensioners also, non-Georgetown residential, and you have the pensioners, the 11,873 pensioners, the rates basically vary between $4 and $6.
That's it.
Right. And then we look at the unmetered customer now, Georgetown. So based on the tariff structure, we have small commercial and industrial up to large industrial. We show the number of customer here. It's not a large amount as the domestic customers, but the impact at the end there can be seen is that because of the value of the tariff, they tend to benefit a little more. So small commercial industrial, for example, would get $150 basically on meter. Large industrial, $1,200 reduction. And we could go down the line again there. To see the impact. But it's also good to note when we go down to the bottom there, non-Georgetown residential customers is 59,883 customers. That's quite a large proportion of our database will be benefiting from this tariff reduction. So it's good to note that. So this is basically our presentation in terms of the reduction in a nutshell. Having said so also, pending the approval of the 5% reduction, GWI basically is in a position to really implement it because the billing system is properly structured to deal with the implementation from the effective date of approval of this structure.
Thank you very much. Can we assume that that is the end of the presentation? Mr. Niles? Mr. Niles?
My apologies, Madam Chair. I was just off camera for 1 minute.
Yes, but I believe that we have lost the gentleman who was speaking just now. So could you clarify for us whether that was the end of his presentation?
Sure, Madam Chair. Just give me 1 minute, please.
Thank you.
I just got a message from Mr. Daniel saying there's some technical difficulties at GWI's end. So they're just trying to sort that out quickly.
And so what I will do as we wait for GWI to come back on board, I just want to indicate to all those who are on this feed and the members of the public that as Mr. Passad would have said at the onset, Mr. Dial is not with us on the call, but he is on the telephone. He wishes to indicate for the purposes of the record that he, on behalf of the Consumers Association, he welcomes the 5% decrease on behalf of consumers, and the association has no objection to that decrease. Mr. Niles, whilst I wait for you, can we ask that the members of the commission be allowed to ask you any questions as we wait for the others to come on board? I see them setting up in the boardroom. Can we ask you any questions? Can the commissioners ask you as we wait for them to settle? Because I appreciate we are recording.
Sure, Madam Chair. I think GWI is back online as GWI boardroom.
Thank you very much. Do you know whether they require us to share the screen again, Mr. Niles?
Mr. Ram, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Niles. Yes,
your presentation is finished?
It's finished, dear. We are to the point. But unfortunately, we just got, you know, the technical problems. And it happened to okay.
I think the commission is at the point where the chair is about to open the floor for questions.
Mr. Ram, can we confirm that your presentation was completed?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will now invite members of the commission to ask any questions. Then I will put the floor open to members of the commission staff and, of course, any members of the media and public, those will go after and in that order. Commissioners? Dr. Lucas, you had a question for the CEO, but can you put the questions, if possible, to Mr. Ram, Mr. Daniels, and Mr. Niles?
Yes, Chair, and good morning again, colleagues, and thanks for a very detailed presentation on this matter. In fact, I think some of the things I wanted to ask the CEO to address could be addressed by this team here. Beginning, I know I would certainly appreciate if it is appropriate to receive a copy of the strategic plan to get a sense as to some of the things that GWI plans on doing. And two specific things I would like to have addressed. One, could you detail for us some of the incentives you have in mind to ensure that backlog and bills that you're dealing with, that it's addressed? And secondly, on this massive expansion program, I would assume that part of it will require some recruitment. And could you give us a sense as to what is likely to be the impact on operating expenses? Because that will also have to be taken into consideration since your revenue stream is also being affected. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We will surely send to the commission and the commissioners copies of our strategic plan. This will be done tomorrow. And in connection with the incentives, I will ask Mr. Daniels, who is the Director of Commercial Services, to address those two issues.
Thank you.
Thank you, CEO.
Through the chair. In direct response to the question on what incentives we'll offer to be able to reduce our accounts receivables, and I'll stress on the word incentive, we intend to offer a sort of a free pass promotion, which of course, as Mr. Bashford have mentioned, will be properly ventilated in the media. But we will offer reductions to the customers' bills and any other outstanding charges or penalties that they may suffer. As an impetus for settlement of bills, we are also open to offering very flexible payment contracts in addition to those incentives. That is the extent, as I can say now, in terms of incentives. Obviously, there are other actions that we are allowed to take, some punitive, some not so punitive, to be able to leverage whatever payables or receivables are out there.
Thank you very much. And as a follow-up to Mr. Dr. Lucas's question on the issue of billing, I am referring to our Order 2 of 2018, as it relates to the cleaning up of the database. Can you inform the commission as to what progress was made since the issuance of that order in that regard?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I certainly can. As you will notice from the current customer count, it has been on a very gradual decline from when we last presented our application a few years ago. This speaks to our efforts, albeit small efforts, but sustained efforts to cleanse the database of customers who are, well, both customers, duplicated accounts, etc. About 6 months ago, we launched internally a very comprehensive program to do some further cleansing. And we have an expert who is interrogating the database and seeking to do some further cleansing. So we expect by the end of this year that we'll be in a much better position to say with some amount of confidence what is the level of accuracy of our database. So it's a mixture of the sustained efforts by the regional staff to very methodically and deliberately look for the duplicated accounts and close them, and also to do some more in-depth ICT-related investigations to do some further cleansing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Daniels. Might I ask our newly minted commissioner as to whether he would like to ask any questions or make any comments to this?
Excuse me, Chair, there was a second question that I that posed that I think still has not been addressed.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lucas.
Yes, that is in relation to the cost for the meter installation, I think. Yes, we are expecting support from the government of Guyana to assist in this regard, because the metering program will be a very comprehensive and massive program. And at any one time, we may have between four to six contractors in various areas to be metered. And we intend to employ contractors to do the work mostly, and some amount of in-house work will be done also through the various regions where they have craftsmen and so on. So it will cost money. We are expecting some government funding, and some funding will come from GWIA.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bash. Thank you, Wicks, very, very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Dr. Gopal, would you like to make a comment or ask any questions of GWIA?
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I'd like to commend the management team led by the CEO, Mr. Sheikh Bash, for an excellent presentation. And I think the reduction of 5% is commendable and will go a far way to help the consumers. Particularly, I'm interested and happy to hear that the Hope Canal, the reservoir there, will be studied with the possibility of bringing sweet water to the communities nearby, and that will obviously reduce the cost of producing water. But I'll also perhaps remind him also that the Mahaika Creek is close by, and that should also be examined, where billions of gallons of sweet water is let go into the Atlantic, especially during a very, very lovely water that can also be converted to the cost. So hopefully within a few years, we can have water from, let's say, Maikoni all the way to Georgetown, piped into various communities. And it is in that direction that I'm commending the management for thinking that water can be harnessed not only through artesian wells, but from what we have as a natural flow. So my commendation to them, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, and I think we are heading in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gopal. Ms. Klass or Mr. Bassessa, would you like to ask any questions?
Okay, can I go? I noticed that the majority of the metered customers are outside of Georgetown. And I think the CEO mentioned that you know, they would be employing teams to do the metering. Is there any analysis done in terms of what might be the increased revenue using meters, for example, in Georgetown or out of Georgetown? Do you have any analysis to say what increased revenue you might get by using meters in the various areas?
Mr. Daniels, would you be able to address that for us?
Yes, Madam Chair, I can quickly address that.
Thank you.
The benefit to the utility of metering is the ability for us to charge the customers exactly what they use. Our analysis shows that an unmetered customer may use as much as 300% more water than a metered customer. On the contrast, when an unmetered customer becomes metered, the actual consumption drops to an extent that the billings would increase by about 30 to 40%. So it's a win-win situation for both the utility and the customer, where the customer, the utility produces less water and bills exactly what is consumed. And the customer on the other side, by the involuntary means of conservation, would make more resources available for the other customer down the line. So to be precise in the answer, the increase in billings would tend to be between 30 to 40%. For the residential customers, I might add. The commercial customer, of course, is not a very easy analysis because different types of businesses use water in different ways. So it's not as easy to make a generalized analysis. It's a case-by-case basis. But for the residential customers, we can say comfortably the increase is within our range.
If I may chair, is that there's a big incentive in terms of metering, because our current revenue stream here now, the metered revenue basically accounts for 2/3 of the revenue, and the other 1/3 is unmetered. So there's a big incentive in that direction.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Mr. Bassessa?
Yes. We'd like to congratulate Mr. Bach. It's a very impressive program we've been listening to. I take Dr. Gopal's suggestion into consideration also. But one of the issues I would like to raise, I heard about the fresh water, the pure water, and the metering and so on. But we are being told over time that we have hundreds of meters of lines that are over 100 years old. And if you increase the pressure, it will burst. I do not know. I didn't get to hear because my internet was in and out, whether we have some plans to deal with that. Because in the area of Section C Enterprise, actually where I live, people are getting water to the roof. And now they have to pump water from below. And they're saying that if you increase the pressure, the lines will burst. So I do not know if they have any plans to replace some of those 100-year-old pipes. The second issue I'd like to raise is I do not know if in the short term, if something can be done about the iron content of water on the East Coast. It's terrible. The water smells and it's horrible. It's perfectly horrible. So I do not know if you have any temporary plan to look at the iron content of the water in the interim while you're working on the water purification plan. The last issue I'd like to raise is the wastage of water. And many times I'm traveling through the East Coast and I see leakages, water pouring out. And in fact, the CEO may know about this. Right behind where I live, there was a breakage in the mains, and I reported it for like 10 times. I was 4 months afterwards, and a lot of water was being wasted. I had to call the CEO's office, and then they fixed it the very next day. So I'm wondering whether we can improve the method of dealing with reportage of water leakage, because obviously GWI is losing out there, And obviously the water will be contaminated as a consequence of breakage in the system. So the last issue I'd like to raise is the question of billing. There are a lot of complaints about people billing something today and then they go into the office and there's another figure. So I'm wondering whether people are questioning the billing process and whether something can be done to improve the billing so people get accurate bills reflecting actual what they actually owe GWI. Thank you.
Okay, I may come in here. In my presentation, I did mention that there will be a program which will call for significant investments for the Georgetown transmission and distribution system. The government is committed already to procuring and securing funds for that. It's a huge investment because the lines are over 100, many of the lines are 100 years old. So that is currently being addressed in terms of, we already have all the proposals, the documents, some amount of designs were done by GWI, and we're moving in that direction. But the level of service, perhaps in your area, is especially, might be as a result of the Mandela Avenue Road project, Sheriff Street. So from time to time, you've had to, and on many occasions, reduce the level of service, the pressure of water in those areas to effect repairs. As they repair the roads, we're also doing the interconnections so that we would not have to disturb that road anymore, breakage and otherwise.
Excuse me, I was seeking clarification on Section C, which is like in the Melanie, Box and Melanie area, not the Sheriff Street area.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's the East Coast area. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yes. I thought it was George. No. Yes. What has happened, and you mentioned the question of leakages and so on, this has been a problem on the East Coast in particular. We have assigned two special engineers who are working over the last month, and I can tell you, we have contractors also. We have been repairing hundreds, if not thousands of villages on the East Coast, all villages. Because as you know, the well at Lusignan collapsed, and it is a lot of pressure on the wells, the other wells in the area. We have had to redirect water supply to Lusignan and surrounding areas. And we find that the level of service went way down. And what was largely responsible for that is the leakages, small and large leakages. So hundreds of leakages have been repaired. As I speak now, it might be about 1,500 leakages. We have private contractors working, GWI teams working, and it has improved the water supply. I'm not saying perfectly, but it is improving as we speak. So, we are addressing that issue. There was also the problem of inventory. We didn't have the materials to repair these leakages. They're now flowing in. We've exhausted all local supplies and we are importing a lot of the materials coming in. But we have in stock now to deal with that problem. It's a real problem, Mr. Bissett. I agree with you. On the question of the quality of the water, what we can do in the interim, and this is what we've been doing, we have, over the last 2 months, a robust flushing system, flushing program for the wells. We test the water for iron content, and then we determine which wells should be flushed once a week, which twice a week, or once a month, as the case may be. And this has been working. It has been bringing relief, but it has to be done on a very consistent basis. And according to a detailed program, and the managers and the staff out there must know that they must flush at certain times. And this will bring relief, we feel, on this matter. On the question of billings, yes, there has been the problem of estimated billings, a perennial one here at GWI. And we're glad to announce that, for example, in the month of March, we have 96% reading, actual reading of the meters. We have mandated all managers to ensure that not more than 3% of the meters are estimated, not more. Previously, we had 15, 20%. So we have this under control. So you may not be seeing the estimated billing, which caused a lot of a problem and has now caused it, but we have reduced that with the actual reading of the the meters now and billing according to meters.
Mr. Baksh, if I may, you talked of flushing of the wells and so on. But one of the problem here, I think, is not actually the flushing, but the kind of water actually. The water itself has a high, very, very high iron content. And so I don't know if I remember sometime you were talking about using some chemical that is not harmful to humans to reduce the iron content. And the one other point, because of COVID, I'm wondering if people are reluctant to go to the offices or so to pay. So maybe I'm just wondering whether sometimes a mobile unit could be effective. I don't know.
Yes, we do have that. In many communities, we've been doing that on the west coast of Barbados. In various communities, we do have Leghorn Islands. Okay. We have mobile units, targeted mobile units. Okay, yes, we do have that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bissessa. Before I go to the other members of the PUC staff, there's an additional question for GWI from Mr. Dial. Mr. Dial is the president of the Ghana Consumers Association. And his question is, I quote, can GWI in the future consider the reconnection fee or the issue as it relates to reconnection so as to prevent persons from illegally reconnecting? I would imagine that his issue is whether there is anything to remedy or stop the mischief of illegal reconnection.
Already we are dealing with that. I must assure you, Mr. Daniels has been very active in this regard, in that we are given incentives. If customer has been disconnected for some time, rather than losing some customer for years have been disconnected from the system, but they have reconnected. But instead of losing the revenues, because we're not connecting the revenues, we are giving them, as he has mentioned, an incentive, a reduction on their debt, significant. And also for the reconnection, we give them a significant cut in the reconnection fees. So already we do that. When I say it's really significant, because we feel that we have to bring them back on and let them start paying, no matter how small their revenues, rather than enjoying the water without paying anything at all. Because these are customers who have been disconnected or reconnected. So we have that as an incentive moving forward.
Mr. Baksh, I think Mr. Dial's question was specific as to what are you doing, what steps and measures is GWI employing to ameliorate the issue of illegal reconnections?
Oh, I'm glad you've asked that question. Very, very pertinent. Because we have now introduced, as you know, the disconnection program was discontinued for well over a year. And this has led to a lot of laxity, a lot of unwillingness to pay. This is the challenge we have right now in terms of revenue management. The customers out there are not responding. We're writing letters. We're doing all the other things necessary. Apart from PR program, we are sending them letters. We're visiting their homes. We have teams going, urging them, one letter, two letters. All of this has been done. But we have not been getting the kind of response that we want. So we have embarked on a recommencement of the disconnection program as I speak. And we are seeing some results. In 2 weeks, we were able to garner $10 million through that program. So we have to continue with that program. And we have employed on a temporary basis what we call enforcement officers. We have four at this point in time, and they're visiting to ensure that if you disconnect, you do not reconnect, because it's of no value if the customers So we're also doing it on an incremental basis. We're not doing it on a broad scale, and we're moving from area to area, community to community, and disconnecting and monitoring that they do not reconnect and urging them. And we're giving them even last minute chance. If we go to disconnect, we say, are you ready to go and pay up? Pay 50% of what you owe and enter into a data plan, and then we do not. So it's not being rushed into, I can assure you. But we have reintroduced this program and with enforcement officers in the field.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bhatt. I will now invite comments or questions from the Complaints Department. Ms. Bourne, could you and your or any member of your team indicate as to whether you want to ask any questions?
I do not have any question at this point, Ms. Britton.
Thank you very much. Ms. Sukram, our financial analyst, do you have any questions?
Good morning. Yes, Chair. I just have a follow-up question on the reconnection. As per practice, you will know that most utilities will have a credit limit that they would offer to consumer. I would just like to know if GWI has such a program in place instead of disconnecting a consumer for a negligible amount.
Thank you very much for that question, Mr. Kram, through the chair. We've always reserved the right to disconnect customers for any balance that is outstanding. However, internally, we would from time to time set a threshold for disconnection, and that is modified as management sees fit. And this varies sometimes from persons owing above 50,000 in the very conservative side of things to as low as $10,000. We are very aware of the challenges that some customers face, and we are sometimes very reluctant, as we're always very reluctant to disconnect. Hence the constant reassessment of what that threshold should be. There is no hard and fast policy as to what a disconnection threshold is, save and except to say that we do reserve the right to disconnect for balances outstanding from the time they become due. Management exercises its functions to modify that that discretion from time to time. Currently, we are not disconnecting anybody for balances below $10,000. Of course, that may or may not change once we reassess the effectiveness of our current programs.
Thank you very much, Mr. Daniels. Ms. Sukram, do you have any other questions?
One more question. In our order in 2008, we had indicated incremental decrease in the non-revenue water. Can you tell me how successful had the company been in the reduction of non-revenue water, and if possible, the current level?
I'm to the chair, I think you meant order for 2018?
Yes, order yes. Yes.
Okay. The question is on your water. Non-revenue water, should Carlos address that?
Yes. Yes, we'll get Mr. Carlos Rodriguez to comment on the, he's our specialist in this area.
Yes, good morning. In regards to the non-revenue water, we have seen a steady increase in the non-revenue water over the last couple of years. And what I can tell you is that this is due to lack of investment in the reduction. As you know, we have not really been procuring meters over the last several years. It's only recently we have started back this program. We have not really been installing DMAs and doing loss reduction work. There was not even much investment in procuring materials for leak repairs, the required leak repairs. Now, the last set of work on non-revenue water reduction would have been done under the WISIP program, which was the IDB. And in those areas, we would have seen a reduction. Like, for example, I could give an example with the Shitanka system, where we saw a reduction from around 85% around in 2016 to to 33% in at the end of 2019. But the trend of for the nationally is that the non-revenue water would have been increasing. And this is so whenever you do not invest on loss reduction work. In the program that we have with the strategic plan, you will see outlined there that we have several areas that we'll be looking at doing the metering, which is very important for the reduction of the non-revenue water. We'll be setting up DMAs so in those areas to reduce the non-revenue water. And if you're looking at the baseline, at the end of 2019, it would have been 70%. In the strategic plan, we have a series of targets to reduce that non-revenue water all the way to 55 at the end of year five. But we have yearly targets.
If I may come in here, additionally, with our massive water treatment plans for the coastal belt, in each one of those areas for the water treatment, we will ensure, like what has happened, the case study here is Sri Lanka, where non-revenue water was 85%, it's now 33%. That is so good, that's a case example. Whereas at national level, it's about 70% in places like Linden and so on, same thing. So we have a plan as we install the water treatment plants in an area, we will tighten the transmission and distribution network. We will meter 100% as we go along with that. And therefore, we expect to see significant decreases in non-revenue water. And we are already bringing in a lot of the DMAs to measure the flow out of the wells and so on into the distribution network. So this will be significant developments. And I expect that rather than 55%, we can go much lower than that. And it would all bring such significant gains to GWI in terms of its water losses, production of water, chemicals to treat the water, and will contribute to the financial viability of GWI in the next 2 to 3 years.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bash. Might I ask Mr. Vidya Prasad if he has any questions at this time, Secretary to the Commission?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. Just very quickly, I may have missed this. You were speaking just now of the consumers who are required to be metered across all the banks. And I know that the CEO mentioned earlier, I believe they have in mind about 42,000 meters to be in place in 2021. I just want to know, after that 42,000, presuming that's, that actually does materialize in 2021, what would be that sort of benchmark for the remaining years to get to 100% of consumers?
We are procuring 42,000 meters, but for 2021, we may not be able, we have to be realistic because already there is a delay in the shipments for the meters that are coming in May, June. So we may not be able to install all of them. We will try as many as possible, but at least more than 20,000 for this year. So I don't want to give the impression we're going to install all of those meters in 2021, but going forward. So that is what will happen.
Thank you, Mr. Prasad. Do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, I was not very clear. So about 20,000 persons will hopefully be metered in 2021. But yes. What about the, how many more will it take to get you to the point where you're going to get to 100%?
We're looking at 90%, not 100, in the 5 years. Mr. Roberts will come in here now. He's in charge of the metering program. Mr. Roberts.
Yes, good morning. Our metering program for 2021, we'll put in 20,000. Next year, we'll get another 20,000 in. And at the end of 2022, we would have another 30,000 persons to be metered in order to get to 90% meter coverage. Now, we'd like the meter coverage to move hand in hand with the treated water coverage, because we want to invest in meters where the water quality is excellent. So we envisage that between 2023, 2024, we'll have an increase in the treated water coverage, and the other 30,000 persons will become eligible for water meters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Prasad, do you have any other questions?
Just a final question, really.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to find out what is the mechanism you have in place to ensure that pensioners only will be benefiting from that subsidy? And secondly, what may be the mechanism in place to ensure that your database is updated constantly to meet that sort of criteria required? Thank you. That's my final question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prasad. I will address both questions through Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir.
As you may recall, the pensioners tariff is a rising block tariff for that express purpose, where we would have estimated that a pensioner living alone or with a spouse should not be consuming in excess of 10 meter cubes per month. Thereafter, the tariff rises to the regular rate, precisely to cover any additional persons that may be in residence. So that increased consumption is covered theoretically by the rising rate after that 10 meter cube threshold is passed. In terms of the constant update of the pensioners database, we are in direct and constant contact with the Ministry of Social Services, where the pensioners listing is updated as persons are added to that database. That is shared with us, and we cross-reference and update accordingly. Obviously, because the government of Guyana is covering to a very large extent, in fact, in its entirety, the pensioners subsidy, there is a need for us to have an accurate position on the database to be able to reconcile on an annual basis. So as they update, and we cross-reference, and we update accordingly.
Thank you, Mr. Daniels. I am informed from our technical team that there are no questions from the general public. Might I ask, I'm not certain as to whom I should address this question, but I believe it's Mr. Ram. Mr. Ram, PUC is not in receipt of either your audited or unaudited financials, I believe, since 2016. Is that correct, sir? And how soon do you propose that we can get that?
Madam Chair, thanks for the question. 2017 financial statements has been audited.
Sorry, I can't hear you, sir.
2017 financial statements have been audited. We will make them available to you through Mr. Niles. So we have 2018 and 2019 financials now are currently in the audit process. Yeah. We are expecting those two audits to be completed within the end of this year here. And 2020 audit would start in 2022.
Thank you very much. And how soon do you think the commission will be in receipt of those, Mr. Ram?
For the 2017 audit, we could send it after the meeting today.
Thank you very much.
Right, while the others basically the 2018 and 2019, that'll be by the end of the year.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ram.
If I may just interject.
Yes, Mr. Pazan.
Send us the 2016 and 17 audited financials. And if it's possible for GWI to also send us the unaudited financials for 2018 and 19 would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pazan.
Yes, Madam Chair, we have the management accounts available also.
So can we get them as soon as possible?
Let me just indicate that they are in fact draft accounts anyway. We still have some adjustments, etc. to put through.
We would like to review those, Mr. Ram.
Yeah, fine. So it not be useful for detail analysis, for example, but through the chair, basically, we have them available.
Thank you very much. Let me ask and to confirm with Ms. Mohabir as to whether there are any further questions from the media or the members of the public. Can we also confirm with Mr. Samwaru as to whether Mr. Dayal has no further questions? Can I get a response from Ms. Mohabir, please? I will take the silence as an indication that there are no further questions for GWI. Mr. Niles, would you like to ask any questions or make any comments before I close this hearing?
Madam Chair, I think GWI is a bit anxious to find out how soon we can get some feedback from the PUC on the approval. So that would be my only comment right now.
Thank you very much. We are cognizant to the application that was made on the 13th of April, Mr. Niles, and as soon as we're hoping that we can be in receipt of the documents from Mr. Ram's office, he had indicated by the end of today, and we will try to work assiduously towards a near determination of this matter. Post the documents from GWI.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
And there being Chair, no...
Chair, may I make two other quick contributions?
Go ahead, Mrs.
To the folks at GWI, I know that you've indicated that you cross-match your information with the pensioners database. But I also hope that there is some cross-matching with the migration information because there are individuals who are returning to Guyana who may qualify as pensioners, and there are those who are pensioners and may actually be migrating. So that is just a suggestion on my part if it is not already being done. The other thing is that I heard what the secretary referred to getting to a 100% metering. But I'd like all of us to bear in mind that that is likely to be a very fluid effort, simply because as new communities emerge, there are going to be unmetered individuals. And so as long as communities continue to grow and to be created, reaching that 100% threshold is always going to be a challenge. So those would be my additional contributions, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lucas.
Clarification, Madam Chair. GWI, over the next 5 years, we're not looking at 100% metering. I made that clear, 90% metering. Probably moving forward, it may be 90% too, on the grounds of what Dr. Lucas is saying.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I believe that there might be no other questions from the floor, and this brings me to the point of concluding this hearing. But before this hearing is concluded, I wish to state that the rates as applied for on the 13th of April stand suspended. The rates that are still extant are still the rates until the determination of this hearing by the commission. And therefore this hearing now stands closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. You too, Mr. Niles, and be safe, everyone. Thank you very much.